Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
For public forum.
Public forum is an opportunity for the public to get up and speak about anything they'd like to discuss.
And if you're going to allow development that annihilates ecosystems, quality of life, character of community.
They said they wanted to make the new pace down there. Ladies and gentlemen, we do not want to be the new pace. We bought that land because it is agricultural.
I live in Gulf Breeze Midway area, which is turning into a really crappy place to live. Reason we live there is because it's nice. It was rural, but not anymore.
They're going to put 50 houses on half acre lots, smack between Southern Raceway and OLF Santa Rosa. I couldn't think of a stupider place to build houses if I tried.
I support my military. That's a reason I am here. The developer down the street, they don't give, excuse my French, a shit about the property or anything else. The only thing they want to do is come in there and make their money and leave. They care nothing about the property or anything else.
So let's say there was a tone at the Land Development Code meeting yesterday at Santa Rosa County Commissioners meeting to talk about the Land Development Code. Land Development Code is the thing that says, not to be too blunt about it, but how you develop the land. It's the rules for how you build houses and buildings and structures and businesses and all kinds of, you know, signs and road widths and sidewalks and just clearing the trees and just all of that stuff. And the public is, what's the word I want? They're pissed off. I mean, really, really, really angry about a variety of things. Clear cutting, for one, a perceived destruction of the very nature of Santa Rosa County's rural character in the north end happening, in the south end possibly happened already. The Betsy Adams comment there that, you know, replacing forests with retention ponds and, you know, paving paradise and destroying the thing that we came here because we love it, and, you know, blaming the county commission for failing to regulate growth. One of the a 7-hour meeting, by the way. I did not watch all. I watched about the first half of it or so. But in that meeting, one of the big things that came up was this alternate subdivision plan, which is the clustering of homes in a large parcel like Jubilee, 2,700 acres, which would allow agricultural land, one house per acre, would put 2,700 homes. But the rule there is you can take the total amount of homes and you can cluster it in a more dense fashion on a portion of the property. Like, let's say you put those 2,700 allowed homes at one per acre on just 700 acres at a quarter acre lots. Well, that preserves the rest of the land undeveloped, which is a benefit, but it clusters the homes, making that part of the land far more dense. And for people who live next to that, like the Fowlers, who have been protesting this for over a year now, they find this outrageous that suddenly, without a zoning meeting, that you could have a developer come in and put, you know, 4 per acre or 7 per acre homes right next to their property. And to their credit, they fought this fight for a long time. You know, you had the dad and the mom and the kids show up and talk about how bad this is and basically appeal it.
Good morning, commissioners. My name is David Fowler, and I'm here to ask you to remove the alternative subdivision provision from the Land Development Code.
Why must the neighbors endure a lot size change? Both parties, the developers and the neighbors, knew the rules when they bought their property. It's like changing the rules in the middle of the game. You shouldn't change the rules in the middle of the game unless all the players agree to the change.
Yeah, we like our farm and our pigs and our chickens, and we want to shoot guns, and we don't want to have to live next to people who are going to complain about that stuff, so stop ruining life for us by at least not even requiring a zoning meeting. That's kind of the argument. And they have been at every meeting that I can remember for a year. They're like, occasionally they miss a meeting. They show up and it's the same message over and over. We talked about this many times. And they've got 1,000 people to sign a petition to get rid of it. Many other people showed up yesterday and said same thing. We don't like this alternative subdivision plan. It's become a lightning rod in Santa Rosa County. So the commissioners then get into their conversation, and Colton Wright says, well, you know, they've been working on a buffer, like put 100 feet between ag land and the alternate subdivision plan. They've been talking about Kerry Smith proposed, well, let's require them to provide sewer and have sewer hookups instead of having, a septic system, because that's good. Maybe we can trade over that. And other things. And there's benefits to having the alternative subdivision plan because it permanently conserves land, although there was some question about in a maybe weird hypothetical where the whole subdivision is owned by a company that rents them out and doesn't sell them, that maybe they could change it in the long run. You know, like cluster the homes over here and then come back and ask for an upzoning for the remaining parcels and, again, add density later on. So big conversation and a big, you know, a lot of people have showed up to protest the alternative subdivision plan over the last year or so. So what do they do about it? I'll tell you in a second. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And not showing any slowdowns or delays. One accident that we are watching looks like Bower and Sorrento Road showing an accident. But again, no roadblock this morning. And that's it so far. That's the only slowdown. NAS front gate is backed up to Barrancas right now. Yikes. So that's a little bit of a backup too, obviously. Pack your patience there. And thank you for texting it in. If you have traffic tips, text them in. 437-1620. This is brought to you by Gulf Breeze Natural Gas. Don't get caught off the grid. If a hurricane hits, Gulf Breeze Natural Gas, serving Gulf Breeze and Pensacola Beach. We are News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. So Sam Parker was really the break in the wall here because he told this whole story about, you know, when he was early on the board, he didn't want anything smaller than a third acre lot because he grew up in that and he thought nothing should be any smaller than that. He's from here. That's crazy. But over time, he's come to believe, and I think he's right about this, that some areas of higher density, okay, actually do the job of satisfying the people who are coming here because we have people coming here and they want to live here. Where are you going to put them? And higher density construction solves a lot of issues, and it does provide it's better than the kind of sprawl you get when you go one per acre over a large area. If everybody was a house per acre, we'd be sprawled up to Bruton was kind of his line yesterday. But still, this alternate subdivision plan has been such an issue for so many people that eventually, you know, they're getting close to lunch, and he comes in and says, you know what, I might regret this because it might just be that I'm hungry, but you know what, if I'm pushed on this, I'm a no on the alternate subdivision plan, and here's why.
I am very concerned about what happens to this county if we don't get the renewal on that half-cent sales tax, and I'm just concerned with the feel of public sentiment, and the feel right now to a lot of these people are, I'm telling y'all from experience and making a mistake, is they're upset and they don't think we care.
They are upset and they don't think we care, that they're indifferent to the complaints that they bring to the board.
I believe in the alternative subdivision. I believe in what we're doing, and I believe in the weight of this chair, 100%. And I'm not trying to take the easy button, but I'm also scared of, is the alternative subdivision worth rallying these people to be pissed off and saying, we don't trust them and we're not going to vote for the half-cent sales tax? And you know what? Nobody else even mentioned that. And you can say I'm bad to mention it. I'm just telling you that kind of public feel. And if the public feels like the commissioners don't care, that hurts the community. If we don't get that half-cent sales, look, it don't hurt me. That doesn't go into my pocket. It's not my salary. I don't care if these guys build subdivisions or not. I don't care if you get a half-cent or not. It doesn't affect my family from that standpoint, but it affects my family from the standpoint of public safety, stormwater, roads improvement. Like, that half-cent sales tax to me is probably the single most important issue we deal with. And that's why I say that. That is my fear of what I feel from public sentiment.
So he's worried that if the public is so angry at them for not listening to them on the alternative subdivision plan, that maybe they clean house next year. I mean, he doesn't say this, but look, you know, Sam Parker and Colton Wright and James Calkins are all up for re-election. And if people are angry, you know, the last time they were angry, they got some people out of office, you know, and, you know, that's a real concern. And if they're angry, maybe they don't vote for the local option sales tax renewal. And then you got real problems. So James Calkins says,
I just want to say that I don't believe the alternative subdivision has one bit to do with whether we renew the sales tax or not. They're two separate absolute issues.
Which, of course, Sam is not saying they're the same. What he's saying is if people are so angry about A, then angry people show up to vote, and those angry people are going to vote against B. They're not connected except in the sense of who's going to vote and what are going to be their motivations. And if we're trying to persuade them to renew the local option sales tax, well, that's going to be a challenge. So he moves to table all of this and just keep everything in place as it is and just leave this aside.
So as far as the alternative subdivision provision, I would like to motion to table that item from this discussion today. I do so asking for a second.
Nobody jumps up.
Shoot, I'll go one further. I'll make a motion to take it out.
It's Kerry Smith.
I'll second it.
That's two.
All right, we have a proper motion and second.
Commissioner Wright.
Are we going to vote on the screen or just by eye?
Do
okay,
hands.
We'll do a show of hands and eye. All those in favor of removing the alternate subdivision provision from the Land Development Code? All those opposed? All those opposed? Okay. So is that 4-1?
Nay.
I would still want
to. Okay. So let the record show it was 4-1 to remove alternative subdivision with Commissioner Calkins against.
Holy smokes, man. I'm just telling you, I've been watching Santa Rosa County Commission's meetings for I don't know how many years now. You could have knocked me over with a feather. I could not believe it. Because Colton Wright, earlier in, like in 20 minutes before this, had been giving his full defense of why the alternative subdivision plan, though it might need tinkering, is a good thing. Sam Parker, in previous meeting, not within the month, has said, I have my reasons, I believe in my reasons. You don't come and need to lecture me as a grown man over and over and over again to the Fowlers on the same exact topic. I have my beliefs, and I believe in the alternative subdivision plan. Ray Eddington hasn't been as outspoken, and Kerry Smith hasn't been. But you had 5-0 in favor of this thing. As far as I was counting it, I figured this would all fall on deaf ears. And then all of a sudden, 4-1, it's gone. Holy smokes, man. So huge win for the public. I think the commissioners, I think Sam's probably right that pushing a boulder uphill, to use his phrase, was, why am I putting my whole political career and everything on the line for this thing that the public clearly does not want, does not believe in, even if they're wrong, does not understand, we haven't explained it properly, and let's create some trust, let's create some rapport, let's create some respect, and maybe next year they won't be as angry at us, and maybe they'll vote for the renewal of the local option sales tax and my job. That's politics, man. Now, I don't know if it's going to work out for him, but that's what happened. And again, it was completely surprising to me. 723 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
God answers our prayers one of three ways: yes, wait, or no. When God says yes, we rejoice. When God says wait, we learn patience. When God says no, we are reminded that He is God, because if God couldn't say no, then He wouldn't be God, we would be. As our loving Father, He says no to His children, and we submit to His will. As our King, He says no, and we bow our knee. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul asks God three times to remove a thorn in the flesh, and essentially, God says no. But God told Paul, I will give you grace to handle your trial. Sometimes God says no to our request, but then He says yes to sufficient grace to help in the time of need.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Jaclyn Harris Preparatory Academy presents The Many Faces of Tina Turner on Friday, September 29th. Sue Strawn will host an evening of electrifying music, fun, and dancing by Dance Connection. Master storyteller Robin Richard will share the story of the most amazing recording artist ever, Tina Turner. This is a fundraiser event for Favor House, so join them for a fun evening. Tickets are $55 and can be purchased at eventbrite.com.
Hey, this is Andrew McKay, and it's hurricane season, and we are ready with informative, local, and dependable coverage. Our Storm Experience News team will be here for you with breaking information, including reports from both Escambia and Santa Rosa County Emergency Operations Centers, live press conferences and interviews with officials, and comprehensive and accurate coverage, along with our TV partners at WEAR Channel 3. We'll help you through the storm. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Join Autism Pensacola on the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 9. Autism Pensacola Director Mary McClellan and a guest will be here to tell us all about the Steps for Autism event coming up this weekend. Steps for Autism will be on Saturday, September 23rd at the Pensacola State College Track. Autism Pensacola is the leading resource center and community connector for autism support, advocacy, and education. That's tomorrow at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Guy Benson talks to the big newsmakers every day from 2 to 4 before Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Gracie on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I used to hate the water. I can't imagine why.
Good morning, 726, News Radio 92.3, informative local Beastie Boys. I'm Andrew McKay. Candy has traffic on the 5.
It's Candy!
Go on, Candy.
I've got some Beastie Boys stories, not dirty ones. It's time to call a plumber. Call the best of the Bay winner. That's Barbary Plumbing, 477-8782, bringing you traffic this morning. Front gate at Pensacola NAS is backed up to Barrancas already. Use caution there. If you have traffic tips, text them in, 437-1620. We are News Radio 92.3, informative, local, crafty.
There you go. Yeah. She's crafty. Yeah. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. He's also crafty, but he's not a line in that song, so go ahead, David.
Yeah. Five Americans that were imprisoned in Iran are now back in the U.S. They touched down this morning in Virginia. The Biden administration agreed to a deal exchanging the group for Iranian nationals held in the U.S. and giving Tehran access to $6 billion of oil revenue that had been frozen through sanctions.
Three F-35s per hostage. That's what we allowed them to have access to.
Lovely.
Funding-wise, yeah.
Lovely.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
One less now.
There is a new strike... A new strike deadline in the UAW strike. UAW President Sean Fain announced that today. He says if there's no substantial progress in contract talks by noon on Friday, they're going to call on more local unions to expand the strike to more factories. And the military says they've found a debris field in South Carolina, apparently linked to that missing F-35 stealth fighter. Of course, a Marine pilot ejected after some sort of mishap. That really hasn't been expanded on yet. On Sunday, the plane is worth $80 million. Initially, it was nowhere to be found. Now, at least they've got some more to look.
Yeah, and like the the onboard tracker had not been working properly, and he set it for autopilot, so it was just going, which can happen. That's
right.
The whole point of autopilot. There's actually this wild story about an older plane from several years ago where the pilot was in a flat spin. And he couldn't recover, so he ejected, which is what you do. But he had set it on autopilot before he ejected. And somehow or other, the aerodynamics of ejecting caused the plane to right itself. And then the plane went down in a field, and it kept flying in the field, like on the ground. There was fuel, and it was pushing through the field. So
was that the one in the cornfield?
Yes, that's right.
Whole?
That's right. Yeah. There was another one, similar kind of situation, not as good a story, where it crashed into a house and killed a kid that was sleeping there. So... bad things can happen when planes get put on autopilot and keep flying. So, yeah. But, it's hard to find because it's a stealth jet. You know, that's the point. They're supposed to be hard to find. David, thanks so much for the update. 437-1620, 437-1620. Oh, the Army. This is good news. It's good news. We don't have a lot of good news all the time about enlistment and recruitment stuff for the military, unfortunately, because... a variety of reasons, okay, one of which is the transformation of the military into a sort of woke paradise for liberal values. That's true. As you talk to people in the military who are leaving, that's what they'll tell you. But one of the things is that the Army has stopped doing its reenlistment bonuses because they've met their reenlistment goal. Now, that's not new people coming in. They're still short on that, but they're not paying money for reenlistment because... they don't need to pay money for reenlistment anymore. They've met their goal. So call that, that's a good news note. At least I read that as a good news note. Oh, and You ready?
Yes.
Apparently, Gen Z is bringing back jorts.
The jean shorts?
That's right. The nasty, ugly, silly
all
looking...
they have to do is... No, never mind. Go to Molino.
They're too.
They're everywhere.
They never went out of style in some places.
Well, yeah, that's fine.
So if you have been,
you know I'm right,
patiently saving your oversized, baggy, weird-looking jean shorts for the last 25 years,
they go all the way up, man.
They're about ready to come back now.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster. President Biden addresses the United Nations General Assembly this morning.
One of the really important topics that the White House says that the president will be addressing today will be continued support for Ukraine. But really, the big story today will be the encounter that the president will have, at least in the same room with Iran's president. His address to the UN will come just one day after five Americans who were detained in Iran were freed in a prisoner exchange.
Fox's Alexandria Hoff. Those Americans are now back in the U.S. Former New York City mayor and Trump advisor Rudy Giuliani is sued over nearly $1.4 million in unpaid legal fees.
The lawsuit filed in state court in Manhattan seeks full payment of Giuliani's unpaid bills, as well as costs and fees from their efforts to get him to pay up. Giuliani has responded by saying he's personally hurt by the suit and that the firm's bill is in excess to anything approaching legitimate legal fees.
Fox's Ted Linder. Giuliani's legal problems are largely related to efforts to overturn the 2020 presidential election. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. 65 right now. It's mostly clear skies here in Pensacola. A former preacher in Milton will spend 60 years in a federal prison for committing child sex crimes in Fiji. According to the Florida Department of Law Enforcement, 42-year-old Jason Moore has been sentenced after pleading guilty last February to two counts of illicit sexual conduct in foreign places. According to his indictment, Moore engaged in sex crimes between March of 2013 and February of 2016. FDLE agents arrested Moore in Santa Rosa County late last year after the victims came forward. Investigators say those crimes happened while Moore was working as a preacher on missionary trips in Fiji. A Bay Minette man has died after a crash with a semi-truck. That happened yesterday. And 34-year-old Chase Sharp was killed. His SUV rear-ended a big rig on I-65 Monday morning. Alabama troopers say Sharp was not wearing a seatbelt at the time of the crash. He was pronounced dead at the scene, and troopers say the semi was disabled and partially on the roadway when Sharp crashed into it. Alabama law enforcement agency continuing to investigate that accident. A Mobile man's been sentenced on federal charges after that deadly New Year's Eve shooting last New Year's Eve.
Back in April, 23-year-old Thomas Earl Thomas pleaded guilty to shooting an illegal 40 Glock pistol that had a Glock switch. On New Year's Eve, Thomas fired the weapon into a group of people and it led to one death and nine injuries. He was sentenced to 10 years in prison by a U.S. district judge. Thomas still is facing multiple charges locally, including intentional murder and first-degree assault in Mobile County District Court.
And that is News Radio's Joe Ford there. Well, more and more landlords have now apparently started to use artificial intelligence to set rental prices. This is according to Channel 3. Some local apartment complexes are now using software called YieldStar by RealPage. This uses algorithms that looks at customer data.
If investors are going to come to a market like in Northwest Florida and spend money developing a multifamily rental building, they have to understand whether the market potential is there.
And that is local economist Dr. Rick Harper. He says the software could potentially benefit the tenants as well. Harper says with more and more investors that are starting to use it, it could normalize the market so you don't have complexes that are priced way too high. Pensacola's Bay Bluffs Park will unfortunately remain closed indefinitely. Much of the existing boardwalk at that park is going to have to be demolished. This is because of a lack of maintenance from the city over the last several years. It could reportedly cost in the low six figures just for an assessment of what has to be demolished. And potentially over $1 million for a restoration of that boardwalk system that winds through the bluffs. The city likely will aim to keep portions of the boardwalk if they can be saved and rebuild other portions from the supports up. But right now there is no timeline for when that could happen, and currently there's no identified funding source to make it happen. Mayor D.C. Reeves says that they are looking for funding options, including grants. It is 7:35 at News Radio 92.3, and let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with Candy.
Sorry, I was talking to Sheriff Simmons, who we have next. Pretty interesting as we take a lot of stuff happening all over Escambia County. Chase, Gregory, Garden, and Palafox all checking in clear. No slowdowns on Cervantes and Bayfront Parkway checking in without delays. It is backed up, as I understand, to Barranc as the front gate of Pensacola NIS. If you have traffic tips, text 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thank you very much, Candy. Now our Channel 3 weather.
Beautiful weather continues again, and after a cool morning start, we'll end up with highs in the upper 80s. Sunny and dry all day long with lower humidity yet again. That changes a little bit as we move into Wednesday, where we could see a few more clouds and have a slight chance for a shower or thunderstorm to pop up late in the day. I'm Chief Meteorologist Alan Strom with your WEAR News weather forecast.
And right now, beautiful morning. It's 65 in Pensacola, 68 in Gulf Breeze, 60 in Milton. And our next news at 8 o'clock. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Jennifer Kishinka with Your Money Now. Apple is facing a number of issues in China, with geopolitical risks mounting and the economy still not firing as many would have hoped. But the biggest challenge of all could be a resurgent Huawei after a purported major semiconductor breakthrough that flew in the face of U.S. sanctions. The latest chip, made by China's biggest semiconductor manufacturer, has sparked concern in Washington and raised questions about how it was possible without the company being able to access critical technologies. Shake Shack has partnered with an environmentally friendly and health-focused cooking oil company on a pilot program that'll determine if the fast casual chain will switch its oil supplier in the future. Zero Acre Farms, which brands itself as the better cooking oil, announced the test partnership yesterday. On Wall Street, futures just slightly higher after stocks closed little change yesterday. The Dow Industrials edged up 6. The NASDAQ added just 2 points. That's Your Money Now.
Keep climbing.
Picked off! He brought it down with one hand!
Johnson.
Goes down! Sack!
This is your home for FSU football.
Watson deep downfield!
Caught! Touchdown! FSU!
Rolling to his left, they're going to throw. End zone! Picked off!
Game over!
Catch live coverage of the Seminoles all season long, right here on your home for Florida State football.
Listen to FSU football on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Brought to you by Pensacola Hardware. Join us tomorrow for a special Foo Foo Fest edition of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Joining us will be Therese Felt McKenzie, the chair of the Pensacola Foo Foo Festival, Nicholas Stacey, the curator, and Robbie Schrock, the public relations liaison. The 10th anniversary of Pensacola's Foo Foo Fest is coming up soon, and you can get all the details on the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10:30. Pensacola's Foo Foo Festival. Bigger, funnier, artier.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Are you looking for the best news and talk radio in Pensacola? Then tune in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town, with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 7:39 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, dependable in a way my computer is not. had to restart it in the break. Oh, my God, it freaked out on me. We've got Sheriff Chip Simmons with us here in studio. Sheriff, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
Sheriff is far more dependable than my laptop, so that's fantastic. hey,
that's not saying much, but
that's a low bar, sure. But no, you would exceed it in any place. That's right.
When you run again for sheriff, you should
you can say that more reliable than Andrew's laptop. It's a good tag. You guys put up another real estate sign. Another drug house closed down.
Yeah, we have been doing this actually for a couple months, but we haven't really been putting it out on our social media. And now that we've been doing it recently, people have been catching on to it. And so we put a little sign up there. Only while we're there, Because we don't want them to tear up our signs, and we only have about four or five signs. So that's what we're putting up and saying, hey, for now, this drug house is closed. And our hope is that the neighbors will see it and understand that the complaints that they've been giving us and what they have been seeing has not escaped our notice, and that we are doing these drug busts. In fact, we've done a couple of them. We've done one on L Street, got some drugs and some guns and some people. We had a couple of traffic stops recently where we got some drugs and guns.
There was one on Kenmore Drive on 29, right? Just yesterday or the day before, pulled over a guy and had a gun and some paraphernalia and things in the car, right?
Yeah, a K-line alerted, and this guy was a convicted felon. He also possessed a firearm, which, as you and everyone should know, if you're a convicted felon, you shouldn't be in possession of weapons. You certainly shouldn't be in possession of drugs and stolen. The vehicle was stolen, I believe, too, and so we took care of that particular individual.
Right, very good. We also had, this was, last Thursday, I think, I hate to say it was in, I don't like bringing stores into it when it's not their fault, you know, brands into it when it's not their fault, but it did happen to be at the Publix parking lot. You found somebody deceased inside of a car, right?
Kind of unusual. Called us, and it was an individual in a car, obviously not responsive. We get there and find out there was a deceased individual, but there's no signs of foul play, and the medical examiner will do an autopsy to verify that. We have to make sure that we do a crime scene just in case. But in that particular situation, we have no reason to believe anything other than natural causes took place.
And that's something, you know, unfortunately people pass away and they get discovered and, you know, they call the police or whatever and you respond to this and the ME comes and they look and, right?
We do, I don't know, a dozen death investigations a day. We have large, you know, yeah, I mean, you think about it. We do some in a hospital. We do many in homes. We do some at hospice. The hospice one's a little quicker, you know, obviously because there's usually a doctor that will sign a death certificate. So we just document the death and then it'll go, usually they don't go to the medical examiner anyway. So those are pretty quick. But yeah, I would say we do probably, you know, 10, 12 a day.
Wow. That's just a part of the job I never thought much about. I mean, obviously in a violence event where somebody gets killed, you think about that. But I just hadn't been thinking about how your deputies are encountering death on a routine basis. And not everyone every day, but you have enough deputies seeing these events that, you know, that's something they encounter routinely, right?
Well, yeah, and by and large, these are all natural causes.
Natural causes,
you know,
right,
sure. You know, typically, they're, you know, and I hope that they're, you know, 108 years old.
Right.
And that they've lived a full life, and mostly that's what it is. But we do have to document that, the death, even if it is not suspicious, and that's what took place at the, that's what seems to have taken place at the Publix.
We had a odd story out of Pine Forest High School, allegations of embezzling funds by the adults involved in the cheerleading team. Is that right? You guys were involved in this investigation?
Yeah, we get a call from the school district, and they say, hey, we got a complaint that some of the money that was collected on behalf of, I think, the Pine Forest junior cheerleaders or junior varsity cheerleaders, perhaps even freshman cheerleaders, some of that money did not get into the proper, what they felt like was the proper account. So they call us. We take a report. We are investigating it and working again with the school district. Whether we end up arresting someone or not, or whether the school district gets all their money back and decides they don't want to do that, press charges, we'll determine that as the investigation continues. But right now, we are looking into it because it was reported to us.
Right. Very good. Worst story of the week by far, and I almost hate to talk about it, but as you and I have talked many times, sometimes you have to talk about the bad story so people can do something about it. And, you know, you guys went to a home and you found six kids living in what can only be described as atrocious conditions.
The only good thing about this, first of all, is that the kids were removed from the home, at least temporarily. I'm not sure where the kids are now. But the best thing, again, one of the best things in the story is that someone saw it and made an anonymous call to law enforcement. So when we're telling you the story, I want you to consider if you know of some children that may be in a situation like this, to give us a call, give the authorities a call. We get the call that, again, anonymous, that someone should check on these children, and they were correct. Two of our deputies, as they approached the house, the windows were open. They could smell urine and feces from the window, coming from the window.
Oh my God!
When they knock on the door, a teenage individual came to the door, and that was the babysitter. And then when we looked into the apartment, there was a soiled mattress right there in the living room where I guess kids had been sleeping. But on that mattress was feces and urine, and the toilet there was, again, more feces and maggots, and there was rotten food and spoiled food, and there was no real food or no good food, no edible food that was left in the house. And these are kids. There's a babysitter, and then aside from the babysitter, there were kids ranging from 1 year old to 11 years old. And I've gone to child abuse cases before, and it sticks with you. It's difficult to just go lay down your head at night, that night, and decide, that I'm just going to put this out of my mind, because all you think about is the sights that you've seen, and the maggots in this case, the kids, the poor kids, and what they have been living in. And you think about the smells, and you think about what's going to happen to those children today and tonight and tomorrow. It's a difficult thing.
And what other kids are out there?
Exactly.
And what other cases are like this that you don't know anything about? And the feeling like, you know, what you do for your own kids and you can't do for these other kids to protect them.
Well, you know, it's so sad. And again, we called DCF. DCF came and they decided, in my opinion, rightfully so, that the children do not need to be in these conditions 1 minute more. So they pulled them, and now what happens to the kids is out of the law enforcement purview. It's they'll probably talk to family, and obviously it's a good place to put the kids. Right. Kids feel comfortable with family, and hopefully the family has it has better living conditions and more food and that sort of thing. And if not, if they reach out, you know, and try to get some of the services that are available. But it's 2023, and children, our children, should not be living in conditions like this. No children should be living in conditions like that.
And just for perspective on this, the report I had, you correct me if I'm wrong, is that one child actually had to go to the intensive care unit.
Yes, one child had some drugs in their system.
No.
And so they were taken to the hospital, and then they were they were treated, as I understand. Hopefully that those children will be okay, and hopefully that this is a road that will lead them towards a better life.
Well, we've talked about this many times, but there are things that I know because I know cops, and the things that you guys see, endure, deal with. You know, I had a very good friend who was a detective in Phoenix who had to leave working on the child crimes unit because his own kids, and he just couldn't do it anymore. I don't know how you do it. I'm so glad that you do, and what the folks at Gulf Coast Kids House and, you know, Santa Rosa Kids House, what they do so the lesson here is, if you see something suspicious, say something.
Yeah, you can make an anonymous call. You can call Crime Stoppers. You can even call our dispatch without going through Crime Stoppers, and just say you don't want to be contacted, and we will go out and we will check the conditions as best we can of these children. Now, again, it doesn't mean that someone's not living up to your standards.
Right.
What it means is these are evident, and as you, probably the smell would be coming from, you know, from the house, and perhaps even from the children themselves, you know, at school.
Yeah.
And a lot of times we get the calls from teachers, you know, who say, yeah, this child, someone needs to check on the situation at this home. And I wouldn't even begin to think how many lives are saved basically because of children, of teachers, you know, who
absolutely
know.
I mean, the mandatory
teacher,
reporting,
you know,
right?
What's right and what's wrong and what's odd, and you know, what's peculiar, and they know who to call.
Absolutely, and the other side of this too is, if you have the opportunity to foster, you know, to be a temporary safe place for kids, please do it, because we are way short of foster parents. We're super late to traffic on the fives, Candy.
Roads are fine. It's backed up. It looks like at Barrancas, front gate is backed up to Sunset now. So thank you so much for texting that in. If you have traffic tips, 437-1620. And there's a fire truck blocking Brent Lane on the incline as you go right in front of the Waffle House, right by, it looks like, PCA before you get to PCC. Not sure what happened. Again, 437-1620. If you have traffic tips, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to Sheriff Chip Simmons. Switching now a little bit to some good news is you had one of your colonels pass the FBI Academy, something that you've done that Captain, what is Andrew Hobbs' current?
Chief of Administration.
Thank you. Everybody's changing their titles all the time, and it's hard for me to keep it straight. I apologize.
Well, we grow up, Andrew.
Yeah. why does my title stay the same? Yeah. Anyway, I want to be a colonel. Anyway, so he completed the FBI Academy, right?
Yeah, he just got back. Yesterday was his first day. We kind of little
David Ingram, by the way,
David
I did not
Ingram.
Say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sorry. David Ingram left. This is a 10-week program the FBI puts on at Quantico. As you mentioned, I won't tell right now when I went to it, but it was over
previously.
In my younger days. I went, my chief Leiter has gone to it, Chief Hobbs has gone to it, now David Ingram, making four of the employees at the Sheriff's Office graduates of the FBI National Academy. I went when I was at the police department, and so did Tommy, but you know, David and Andy went now. So it's just a great opportunity for them to get out there and share ideas with agencies, not just in the United States, but also throughout the country. I think he had over 20 foreign students, mm-hmm. and it's just amazing to kind of hear some of their perspectives on law enforcement. And nowadays, it's interesting to hear the perspectives of the other international students from California. Yeah, you know, those ones.
The foreign country of California.
Yeah, and some from Mississippi.
Yeah, right. The last thing is you have a cool event coming up, that Battle of Pensacola, the giant kickball tournament, right?
I think it's a we have that coming up.
That's right.
Yeah, October 21st. It's the second Battle of Pensacola. It will be held again October 21st. It's going to be in the morning. So if you're really a big college football fan, and I am, we'll start at 8 o'clock. First pitch is probably at 9 o'clock. We'll play till about 10:30, 11 o'clock, and it is
much as any of us can handle.
Yeah, because then the muscles get old.
Yeah, that's about two or three times the lineup, and we're done.
So it's the second annual kickball tournament.
Yep. Yeah, we had.
So
last
who won
year.
The first one?
Well, that's a great question. The team
Thank
that
you.
I was on team to have won that
oh,
first.
That would
oh, okay.
be the
was that your team,
that would
Andrew?
Be the cops and the politicians who let's just say developed a reputation for working outside of the rules.
Well, we call it team trustworthy.
I that's, got
that's,
that.
That's who it was.
You're right.
You can call it team trustworthy, but I was there and I know what happened. So are
well,
we going to
have
how
here's
a
chance?
How,
we have not selected the teams yet.
Okay.
What we're going to do is we're going to categorize all community and government together, so it's going to be a mix of these, and then we will draw. We'll have two team captains. We'll draw Team A and Team B. Say.
Okay, all right.
And so we don't know who's going to be on what team.
I got you.
Just so
let,
if you're lucky,
let,
you'll be
let's
on,
just all play by the rules.
Can I volunteer as tribute?
you're certainly volunteer. But we do want people.
But last
to come
year,
out.
This is
it's
great.
Free.
This is so much fun. Last year,
it's
we
free,
had
right.
all. Politicians and law enforcement and Air Force and
Government,
Navy folks.
Yeah,
all, it was
yeah.
so much
and
fun.
And the fodder it created for years.
And fodder for resentment. And it is the one point of deep seated fighting contention between myself and Jared Moore. You know, so it's just it'll be okay as long as y'all let me have another in the park home run.
Are you saying we let you have the first one?
Nope. Nope.
I can play it back. I got it. Yeah.
But we did see a lot of high kicking.
Hey, we're not the greatest. This is not.
This is a Wahoo Stadium.
Ringers. It's at Wahoo Stadium.
Yeah.
It's free. The weather should be nice. Come on out there and watch. You know, your favorite or your not so
less
favorite.
Yeah.
Individual get out there and make a fool of themselves. But it's we call it semi-competitive because we'll keep score. But I mean, it doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of things.
Matters to those of us who lost.
It's just an opportunity. It's an opportunity for the community to come out. There was food last year. Just come out and help make fun of the people that you hear about and read about and listen to.
Oh, it's a great. It's a lot of fun. I'm
glad
you guys put this on.
What's the date on this?
October 21st.
All right. 8 o'clock. First pitch is at 9 o'clock. So get there about between 8 and 9, and you can heckle if you'd like. You can do.
Oh, heckling is definitely encouraged. Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
Come
and heckle.
So you won't arrest me for heckling.
We will not. Nothing illegal about heckling, unless it's the second degree heckling. Those are bad.
Oh yeah,
I'll look that up.
With aggravating factors.
Line.
Yeah. Sheriff Jim Simmons, as always, a pleasure, sir. We'll talk to you again next week. Thank you so much for the time.
You bet. Y'all take care.
7:53 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew Kay.
Some folks like to drive alone. Some take their best friend. While others ride with their growing families. But no matter how many passengers you have, there's a Volkswagen that fits your needs at Feedmore Imports. The 2023 Jetta Sport. The sleek, compact sedan now from $24,361. The Taos S, a sporty crossover with a competitive price of $25,681. The Tiguan S, with the third row, is larger and it's now $28,251. And the family-sized SUV that seats 7 passengers and has style and comfort for everyone to enjoy. The 2024 Atlas SE is now at Feedmore Imports from $39,421. And the VW ID4 EV, the all-electric SUV with plenty of space and an abundance of tech features, is now from $35,332 at Feedmore Imports. They're not in Car City, so you won't pay Car City prices. Feedmore Imports, 103 New Warrington Road.
Sale price before tax, title, and associated dealer fees. Discount on the ID4 EV includes $7,500 lease rebate. See dealer for details.
Things keep getting bigger and better at Darrell Sewing of Pensacola. Darrell Sewing is the largest sewing machine dealer in the Pensacola area, offering a variety of sewing machines, sergers, and embroidery systems, plus a large selection of sewing machine furniture, craft supplies, and fabrics. Financing is available too. Call him today, 850-438-5444. Darrell Sewing, located at 6705 North Davis Highway between Creighton and Burgess. Online at sewinginpensacola.com.
There's nothing worse than being charged to spend your own money. That's why, at Penair Credit Union, our fee-free checking account has surcharge-free ATMs available from Pensacola to Pencil wherever. So wherever you go, you can bet there's a surcharge-free ATM waiting for you. Because hey, we don't like fees any more than you do. So our checking has no monthly fees, no balance requirements, and thousands of surcharge-free ATMs nationwide. Penair Checking. It just fits better. Make the switch at penair.org/checking. Federally insured by NCUA.
Let's be honest, nobody likes taxes, but they are necessary to maintain roads, support schools, and fund public services. Wouldn't it be great if someone else paid our taxes? In Escambia County, they do. Our beautiful community draws millions of visitors who spend over $1 billion each year. The taxes they pay help lower the tax burden for locals. Tourism works for all residents and businesses in Escambia County. This message brought to you by Visit Pensacola.
Bands on the Beach is back. Bring a lawn chair or a towel and enjoy live music at the stage on Pensacola Beach. There's plenty of room to spread out and enjoy the sand, the sunset, and great live music every Tuesday night at 7.
This week, it's eclectic. They started with a dream and a vision to be the band of choice for any occasion. Funk, jazz, Motown, R&B, neo soul, country, top 40, and more. This week at Bands on the Beach with Eclectic. No pets, no glass.
All the big national news in a conversation with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins from 11 till 2 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Campbell's makes everything.
Mm-mm, good.
Nice.
Oh, you need me to play music, you mean?
Right? I gotcha. Yeah, my computer is just giving me fits today. It's crazy.
Well, maybe it knows you.
Here
we are.
Anyway, no, we're good. There. Oh, you switched midstream.
I did.
Look at you.
Do it again.
Going for Jenny.
I can get it all in.
This is good music.
Thank you. Pop
music. All right, let's tell them about traffic on the five.
Oh.
We got a triple bumper working. I like it.
I'm saying, man, I could do it all at the same time, too, by mistake. As we take a look, it looks like 98, oh my goodness, there's a huge backup in Navarre, and this is 98 eastbound, it looks like, through Windhaven Beach, all the way through Windhaven Beach. I am showing a slowdown on I-10 eastbound as well. Same place as yesterday near Pine Forest, and there is an accident, I-10 westbound at mile marker 5, which I'm sure is slowing things down too. And it does. It looks backed up at Pine Forest going onto I-10, but again, it's I-10 eastbound that is the slowdown near Pine Forest. I'm not sure why that is, or maybe construction. Backed up at the front gate of Pensacola NAS to Sunset. Not bad, though. It looks like it is moving. And if you see an accident or a slowdown, oh, and then there's another accident. As I understand, a pedestrian was hit. Fire truck blocking Brent Lane on the incline as you go right in front of the Waffle House by PCA and before you get to PCC. So careful there wherever you are. If you have traffic tips, text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. David sure. Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, Hunter Biden is suing the IRS.
Biden's lawsuit says the whistleblowers, quote, sought to embarrass Mr. Biden via public statements to the media in which they and their representatives disclose confidential information about a private citizen's tax matters.
That's NBC's Ryan Nobles. And Biden alleging that IRS agents illegally disclosed his tax return information. That lawsuit filed in federal court in Washington, D.C., just days after he was indicted on federal gun charges.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Coming up in a moment, we're going to talk to Sam Abel, the city manager for Gulf Breeze. They had a city council meeting last night, and one of the items on the city council agenda last night was golf carts driven by kids and not stopping at those little not quite official stop signs at the crosswalks. We'll talk to her about that coming up.